A few weeks ago, Dana Milbank, political columnist for The Washington Post, pinned his heart on his sleeve and wrote a very high-profile love letter to Newt Gingrich. In it, he seemed to articulate what a lot of campaign reporters have been feeling, but were perhaps too bashful to say. How do we love you, Newt Gingrich? Let us count the ways. You're the only thing saving us from a long spring of despair, the only person who can, by extending the presidential race, drive up our audience and bring us the revenues we so desperately need. All right, he was kidding. But Milbank was acknowledging the vested interest reporters have in prolonging the horse race. Dana, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Bob.
Dana, do you know anybody on the campaign trail, and there are hundreds of you, who does not believe that Mitt Romney's nomination is a foregone conclusion?
You know, some people will say that they don't believe that Romney's nomination is certain, but still, if you woke any of my colleagues up in the middle of the night and said, who's going to win it, they will say Mitt Romney, and then go back to sleep.
So let me read you the four-column headline above the fold in today's Washington Post, your newspaper.
Yes.
It says, Santorum moves to build on three-state sweep. An enthusiasm gap and a bumpy path for Romney. Resurgent candidate raises money, looks to the Midwest. One story says, quote, in position to contend for the Republican nomination.
You got to remember, Bob, that this is the same exact thing we in the media have been doing for the last year or so. We've had, what, seven or eight different front runners. So we're, in many cases, inventing races that don't exist. Now, Santorum did surprise Romney. Santorum is raising a lot of money off of this. The Romney folks are rattled about it. But if you step back, as I believe many of my colleagues have done and will continue to do, it's still hard to see a path to the nomination for anybody other than Mitt Romney. Now, goodness knows, reporters love a horse race. That's why we had frontrunner Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry and Herman Cain and Newt Gingrich two or three times. But if you look at the fundamentals, Mitt Romney was in a dominant position to start this, and he remains in a dominant position.
And that's why, in your classically tongue-in-cheek Milbankian way, you penned a love letter to Newt Gingrich for behaving as if there really were some drama about what was going to happen.
Well, sure. When Newt Gingrich gets up there and says the media want him out of the race, I can say there is nothing further from the truth. And I'm sure the media are now delighted that Santorum seems to have come back from the dead. We like conflict, and we like to see these things dragged out as long as possible because it's good for viewership or listenership or readership, but it also makes our jobs much more enjoyable. You don't want to sit around and write for 5 months about the, you know, nuance of tax policy.
Now, you know, I know you were joking around in your piece, but what you were referring to is a, you know, a genuine conflict of interest. If it is indeed in the media's interest to pump up every little development along the path to the nomination, is the audience being misled?
No, I don't think anybody is being misled. This is how the press works and how it has always worked. We emphasize conflict. You never see a story in the Washington Post or anywhere else about how many planes landed safely at Washington National Airport yesterday. The truth is that's not really what people are looking for either.
Fair enough, but I'm having trouble reconciling the first part of your answer, no, nobody's being misled, mm-hmm. with the second part, which gets to the kind of hype that you believe journalism is biased towards.
You know, look, I don't want to be in a position of defending everything that happens on cable news. I don't think anybody wants to be in that position. But certainly looking at the Washington Post, I think people who are reading what we're doing are seeing, yes, this is an exciting and unexpected development, but keep reading and you see, well, look, Romney is in a dominant position in terms of money raising. The fundamentals of the race haven't really changed at all. I mean, I think it's equivalent to writing about a big one-day rise or fall in the stock market, which we'll also make a big deal of, but a sensible reader would read into it more and realize that, yes, stocks go up and stocks go down, and ultimately the patterns are a lot more predictable.
Okay, but you know, I'm going to continue to hold your feet to the fire because, after all, you were the one who led me to the fire. The headline, which is all about Santorum's momentum, the headlines and the leads, it's all about the insurgency. If you report on an insurgency that's not going to ultimately surge anywhere and you know it, What's the point?
Well, you don't know it, Bob. I mean, you asked me what people think, and I said if you wake them up in the middle of the night, people are going to say Romney is going to win this election. But this is a daily newspaper, and so we're leading, as we should, with the news of the day, and this is unexpected news. I mean, if we took the perspective of counseling our readers not to pay attention to daily fluctuations in the news, there wouldn't be newspapers because there wouldn't be anything to report.
You know, I read to you from page one above the fold of the Post. I should have turned inside to the A section where there's a story that I think is actually substantially more significant. It's about voter turnout at the primaries thus far that seem to bespeak a lack of enthusiasm among the GOP faithful voting poorly for whoever the candidate is. Should that story have been out on page one as well?
Well, I mean, the editors play the page one game every day, and then that very story you're talking about was played extremely prominently on the website, and a lot of folks were talking about it as a result of that. I mean, one thing with the transition from the paper to the web is that you see which story is really catching the interest of people based on the clicks.
Dana, thank you so much.
My great pleasure.
Dana Milbank is a political columnist for The Washington Post.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.